Thank you for downloading our podcast. Make sure to subscribe to get new ones every week. And don't forget to check out First Methodist Sweetwater's website and social media. Now, here is Pastor Tyler Looney.
So, we have been here officially, I think tomorrow is 8 weeks. Is that right, babe? She's not sure. I'm better with dates. We're going to say it's been 8 weeks. And I've got to tell you that it's been a lot of fun. It feels like it's been a little bit longer, but one of the reminders to us that it's only been 8 weeks is we're starting to figure out that, oh yeah, we've got to get our doctor figured out. We've got to get our optometrist figured out. We've got to get some of these things lined out. And so earlier this week, Anna was telling us that I'm down to, and I'm not giving you $5. I don't play that game. I get to use your name because you're mine. It's just part of it. Some preachers give their kids $5 whenever they say their name in a sermon. I'm not doing that today. Sorry. So anyways, one of the things is so Anna, she came up to me and to her mom and said, I'm out of contacts. I'm like, sweetheart, well, okay, we'll figure this out. We'll get the optometrist, you know, lined out. And so we started trying to get an appointment scheduled. And the soonest schedule or appointment that we could get, it's a good 2 or 3 weeks away. So it's like, don't run out of contacts. But then I started kind of going back through all my visits to the optometrist as a kid. And it invoked fear in me. I'm going to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why. Have any of you ever sat in the chair when they bring that little mask thing up to your face, and then they start flipping lenses? Click, 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 and they ask you the question. You ready? One or two? One or two? Or maybe you got an optometrist that would go A or B. One or two? And you're like, I don't know what to say right now. Like, can I ask you to do it one more time? I'm not sure. This could ruin my life because I won't be able to see, and I won't be able to drive if I can't see, and then what else will happen? But it just invokes fear in me. So Anna, I'm sorry that the appointment's coming soon. But anybody else, can you relate to that? Have you had that moment? Yeah. All right. So today's message is called Now I See, and we'll come back around to that here in a little bit. Our scripture reading is going to come from Luke chapter 19. Now, typically, I would have you stand for a gospel reading, but I'm not going to do that today because I'm going to break down the text a little bit, and you'd be standing too long. So you get to stay seated right there where you are. But this is going to be from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. And so Jesus entered into Jericho. And what you need to know is that from the gospel text, I told you I'm going to be going back and forth, so just pay attention. But Jesus is going from old Jericho into new Jericho, okay? And so he entered into Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there by the name Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And for time's sake, his name is Zach. I agree with you, Brandy. That was great. Instead of Zacchaeus, his name is Zach. And so he was a chief tax collector and he was rich, which there's a couple problems there. Is if he's a chief tax collector for the Romans, do you think he was liked by his own people, the Jews? Not at all. Not even remotely. And he was rich, which tells us that more than likely he was skimming some money off the top. So he wasn't liked, he was actually despised by his own people, which we'll see here in a little bit. Verse 3, he was trying to see, this being Zach, was trying to see Jesus, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. You got to wonder how short he really was. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And so Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And in some versions it says was joyfully welcoming him. Verse 7, all who saw it began to grumble because they didn't like Zacchaeus. Why? Because he was a tax collector. And by the way, he was protected by the Romans. He wasn't a very likable person for many reasons. And they grumbled, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner, a thief, a cheater, a tax collector. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Can you see a transformation in Zacchaeus' heart? Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And what I love about Jesus' statement here to the Jewish people is he's declaring, not only is he one of you, he's also mine. He belongs to me. Salvation has come to him. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Jesus proclaiming his mission, and the same mission we're called to have as the church. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive your truth. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd anoint the words that come from my mouth. May I be a vessel for you. Lord, free us from distraction in this time. Help us to see clearly what it is you are calling for us to see as your people. Help us to have your vision so that we might declare, now I see. Through Christ we pray, amen. And so this is only found in the Gospel of Luke. This story of Zacchaeus, and I like to think that Zacchaeus in some way had already come into some form of faith because he heard about Jesus coming, and he's like, I want to see this Jesus. I'm going to even climb up in a tree. And if you know anything about what they wore back then, that would be a little bit indignant to climb a tree, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to do it gracefully. And so he climbs up in this tree to see Jesus, and Jesus reveals his divinity and the fact that he sees Zacchaeus and he also knows his name and he calls him by name. Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree, for I'm going to dine with you this evening. And you see the audience, all the people who know this Zacchaeus, they despise this Zacchaeus. They begin to grumble. They're unhappy about the fact that Jesus would eat with someone like this, that he would hang around with someone like this. But we see Zacchaeus' heart, this transformation that truly he's experienced Christ because he says, what? I will give back four times anything that I have defrauded. Anybody that I've taken advantage of, I will give back four times, and I will also give half my possessions. Does that not show a heart that is penitent, a heart that has been transformed through Christ Jesus? So if you were to take and look at this text in Luke chapter 19 in your scriptures, you'll see that there's a story right before it. And there's a story of a guy named Bartimaeus. And this is found in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark as well. And you can put together this full story of this guy named Bartimaeus who is in the old Jericho. And Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. And he sat at the gates with another beggar. And he too had heard of this Jesus. And he too had come to a place of having faith that this Jesus can do something to transform my life. And in this story, you see Bartimaeus, he cries out. He cries out to Jesus. And he declares to Jesus, I know that you can heal me. I believe that you can heal me. I believe that you can transform me, that you can restore my sight. And what you find in the story is that just like with Zacchaeus, there's a crowd there with Jesus. And they tell the two blind beggars, Bartimaeus being one of them, shh, be quiet, stop. And I just kind of pictured them going, all the more, we're going to shout all the more, Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus draws his attention to them. You can read this again, Matthew, Mark, and here in Luke chapter 18. And Jesus restores their sight. And their lives were transformed. Their vision was restored to them. And in their vision, they knew exactly what they needed to do. And it says in the text that they got up and they followed Jesus. Their life was transformed forever. They went from being beggars who were blind, could not see, who probably stayed within that space, to getting up and following Jesus. John Wesley, if you don't know who John Wesley is, then you're part of a Methodist church and you need to do some reading on John Wesley, just so you know. John Wesley, in his sermon, The New Birth, using the Gospel of John as his main chapter of the Bible to look at, and specifically John chapter 3, verse 7. You remember this is a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. John Wesley wrote this in his sermon called The New Birth. You can go look this up online. But he says, before a child is born into the world, he has eyes, but he sees not. He has ears, but he does not hear. He has a very imperfect use of any other sense. He has no knowledge of any of the things of the world or any natural understanding. To that manner of existence which he then has, we do not even give the name of life. It is then only when a man is born that we see he begins to live. For as soon as he is born, he begins to see the light and the various objects with which he is encompassed. His ears are then open, and he hears the sounds which successively strike upon them. At the same time, all the other organs of sense begin to be exercised upon their proper objects. He likewise breathes and lives in a manner wholly different from what he did before. How exactly doth the parallel hold in all these instances? While a man is in a mere natural state before he is born of God, as it talks about in John chapter 3, verse 7, before he is born of God, he has, in a spiritual sense, eyes and sees not. A thick and impenetrable veil lies upon his eyes. And John Wesley goes on to talk about the fact that when we are born again, we finally see what it is God desires for us to see. We no longer have these natural state of eyes, but now we are children of God. We see clearly. We see clearly what it is God has for us and desires for us. You see, brothers and sisters, when we encountered Christ, we received his healing. We too are born again. Amen? And if you're not, great news. I'd love to talk with you today about what that means to be born again through Christ Jesus. We are born again. We can declare that we are children of God. We have been given new eyes. We can see clearly what it is that Christ wants for us to do. Like Zacchaeus, like Zac, living out our faith through generosity, it becomes a natural thing because we are children of a generous God. We have the same vision that our generous God has to be generous with one another. For a moment, consider God's generosity. Think about God's generosity in your life right now. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But we've been given what? The gift of life through Christ. Is God's generosity not powerful and moving? And we can see clearly his amazing grace, can we not? You see, we've been given new vision through Christ. We should be as the beggars, Bartimaeus and his friend. We should seek to follow Jesus. It should be evident in our actions that we have truly been transformed, just like Zacchaeus, as he encountered Christ, was transformed. And he went from being a selfish, greedy thief of a tax collector to, I want to be generous. I want to give half my possessions, and I'll restore four times whatever I've taken from others. We too should have a life that reflects this transformation. And I ask you this question, what does that look like in your life today? In what ways does your vision line up with what God desires for you to see, and in what ways does your vision not line up with what God desires in your life? Some of you know what I'm talking about right now. Is it evident that you have new eyes through Christ Jesus? Is it evident in the way that you're conducting yourself day to day? You see, someday Anna will get to have corrected eyes like I have. Now, I've got to tell you, I feel spoiled. So about a year ago, I got to go have LASIK surgery done, and I had really, really bad vision, y'all. Like, bad enough, I couldn't tell who was laying beside me when I'd wake up in the morning, right? Bad vision, -8 and -7.5 or something like that. And I got to have LASIK surgery done, and I'll never forget. I'll tell you someday about the procedure. It made me anxious. Somebody else in here probably has had this done. It's a little nerve-wracking for them to mess with your eyeballs. And then I'll tell you a story about how, like, I had that done on a Friday, and that next Sunday I was a guest preacher at a church there in East Texas. Funny story when you go in with bloodshot eyes and you're a guest. But it was incredible as my eyes transitioned, as my eyes were healed and they were restored, I could see clearly. The colors were so vibrant. It makes me think about Paul and the scales when they fell off of his eyes and how he saw clearly how it is that God was desiring for him to live, to be an evangelist to the very people he was persecuting. But my eyes in this moment again, the colors were vibrant. And as I was packing to move here, I remember looking and clearing out the bathroom drawers, and I pulled out my old glasses. And just for fun, I was like, well, how blind really was I? Put them on. Could you imagine how silly it would be if I chose to take those out of the drawer and be like, you know what, I'm gonna go back to wearing these. This is great. I can't see a thing. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Why? Because I had new eyes. My vision had been restored. For us as children of God, we've been given new eyes, have we not? So that we can see clearly. We can see clearly how it is Christ is calling for us to live. We can see clearly his mission, his vision for our lives. Ooh, I almost fell there. Talking about needing to see. The beauty of experiencing Christ in our lives is that we can now truly say to our Lord, now I see. Now I see. I didn't see before, but now I see clearly what it is you want for me to do, Lord. Can you say that today, church family? Can you declare today, now I see. Now I see, Christ, what it is you're calling for me to do. Now I can clearly see, Lord, some of the areas in my life I need some work. I need to let you do some molding and shaping in my life. Now I can clearly see, Lord, how you see me. What a powerful statement. Any of you struggle with how you see yourself? Oh, but Lord, now I see how you see me and how you love me. Oh, Lord, now I see how you see others. Oh, Lord, now I see how you see everything I have, that I'm merely a steward over it. Everything I have is yours, Lord. Now I see. Church family, can you see? Can you see? So, Lord, we thank you that through Christ we can declare, now I see. Lord, we thank you for our new birth. As we reflect upon that conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, I can just only imagine how puzzled Nicodemus was. To be born again? What is that? Oh, Lord, but as your people in this present day, we recognize that statement to be born again through Christ. We recognize that statement, but so often we fail to live into that statement. We fail to see that we've been given new eyes and new ears, a new tongue, Lord, that we can sing praises to you. Lord, we confess that we fall short so often. So often of living into who we are as your people. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. We ask that we would seek, as we come forward for communion here in a second, Lord, that we would seek in this moment to be renewed, to remember who we are as your people, to be born again, Lord, that you would help us to see where maybe we have put on our old lenses and not lived with these new eyes, or maybe where we've even blindfolded ourselves to your vision, where it is you're calling for us to live, what you're calling for us to do. Lord, in this moment, as we come forward, help us to allow you to speak into our lives so that we can declare, now I see. Lord, we give you praise for this gift of life that we have through Christ. And again, for this new birth, these new eyes. It's in his name we pray. Amen.